Turn your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 2. Subject we wouldn't probably think of on Christmas Day, but this morning I want to talk about the gift of surrender. Do we see surrender at all in this passage? I think we do. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 7. Let's do something different this morning. Let's read this together, okay? Read out loud together with me. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your faithfulness. But Father, we thank you so much for your salvation. We thank you that you chose, long before the foundation of the world, to send your son to be born, to grow up to be a man, to die on the cross on our behalf, so that we could be saved from the penalty of our sin. We could be saved from separation from you for all eternity. We thank you for the picture we see in this passage and the truths of all that you've done for us. Father, I pray that you would help my speech and my thoughts to be clear this morning, help me to be accurate in what I say. Father, I pray that you would work in each one of our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would have the ability to penetrate our hearts. We would be receptive to that. Father, we thank you for what you will do. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think of the Christmas holidays, what usually comes to mind? For most of us, it's trying to send out Christmas cards, determining what to get our family and friends, and trying to juggle all the events that are scheduled on church and family and work, and not to mention all those things that come up impromptu that we, hey, can you come over? Oh, well, okay. But oftentimes when you ask someone what Christmas is all about, they say it's about Jesus' birth. But is that what it is all about to us? Have we put so much emphasis on our own enjoyment that we don't really focus on the birth of Christ? We answer that Christmas is about the birth of Christ, we're right. But why are we celebrating? What are we celebrating? And has our celebrating become more about ourselves than about Christ? We have a holiday like Valentine's Day. We express love to that special person in our lives. We think about Memorial Day. We honor our fallen heroes. 4th of July, where we thank the Lord, we give thanks, and we remember the freedoms that we have as a nation. We look at Thanksgiving. We give thanks to God for all the blessings that we have. But every one of these holidays is unfortunately being taken over by worldly marketing and entertainment. They're covering the real reason for the holiday. But another thing to consider is the sacrifices that were made so that we could have those holidays. You think of the lives that have been lost in fighting for our country. You think about the sacrifice there. We think about the men who signed the Declaration of Independence on July 4, 1776. They risked their lives, they risked all that they had to sign that document. We think about the pilgrims, all that they endured to have religious freedom, all that died to just try to make it to this country, all in order to have religious freedom. But what about Christmas? Was Jesus' birth a joyous time? When you think about all the events that took place, or should we approach it with more a spirit of thankfulness than a spirit of celebration? Were there sacrifices that were made, or was there surrender that had to take place in order for God's plan to be fulfilled? I don't want to throw cold water on your family times. I think it's important to have those. But I want us to consider Christmas. And I believe that if we really think about the events of Christ's birth, and think about those things, we will have a greater sense of gratitude. We will have a greater peace. We will have a greater joy that will come from our hearts. We consider all that took place during this time. First of all, look with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. It says, "And it came in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, she who is called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Ladies, can you imagine all the thoughts that went through Mary's mind as the angel brings this news to her? Why was I chosen to bear the Messiah? Are people going to believe an angel appeared to me? What's Joseph going to think? What are people going to say knowing that Joseph, when they know that Joseph and I are engaged, what are they going to say? What are people going to talk behind our back? I don't understand how this is all going to happen. All legitimate questions that Mary had. But what did Mary have to do? Mary had to surrender herself. She had to surrender herself to the will and the work of God. And look at her response in verse 38. Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. She says, God, I'm your servant. Do with me whatever you need to do. I am your servant. I am here to serve. I am here for you. And she says, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. She had to acknowledge that God knew what was best. She had to acknowledge the fact that her plans weren't more important. She had to set aside her own thoughts of how her marriage to Joseph would start out. And from this point forward, Mary's life completely changed because people were watching her now. When they knew that she was going to bear the one who was called the Messiah, all eyes were on her. Okay, how was she going to respond to all this? How was she going to react? Once the baby was born, how is life going to be for Mary? All eyes were on Mary from this point forward. Mary had to entrust herself to the guiding hand of God and let him deal with all the fears and the questions. She says, God, I don't understand, but I'll trust. She had to surrender herself. She couldn't worry about what people would say. She had to trust herself to the all-knowing God. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We read this passage last Sunday. Verses 18 to 25. It says, Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Men, think of the embarrassment. Think of the betrayal that Joseph must have felt when he realized or he found out that Mary was expecting a child. What was he going to do? The only right thing, according to the law, was for him to write a bill of divorcement, put her away, and just specify in that bill of divorcement the reason for putting her away. But Joseph was a loving, kind man, and he didn't want Mary to suffer shame. He loved her. And so he was willing to put her away privately. Willing to put, yes, give her the bill of divorcement, but just not state the reason. He was willing to do that. But an angel comes to Joseph and says, Joseph, no. Joseph, you take Mary as your wife. Joseph didn't want to expose Mary to anything that would harm her, yet this was a very difficult situation for both he and Mary. They knew God had directed them together. But how was he going to deal with all this? What was he going to do? Again, Joseph had to surrender himself and his plans to the all-knowing God. I don't understand, God, but I trust you. The angel came and assured Joseph it was all part of God's plan. It wasn't that God was pushing Joseph aside and Joseph saying, Joseph, just step aside, I've got this one. God was saying, Joseph, I want to make you part of this plan. Joseph, I want you to be part of all this, and I'm going to use you. And Joseph had to surrender himself to God, and he'd give him the opportunity to see God's hand at work and be a part of his work. But notice the obedience and sacrifice of Joseph there in verses 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph set aside his own desires in order to care for his wife, because that was what God had instructed him to do, and he said, I will surrender myself to what God wants. And so Joseph did that. Back in Luke chapter 2, we read verses 1 through 7. Mary had accepted the fact that she would carry the Christ child. Joseph was willing to set aside his own plans in order to take Mary as his wife and care for her. The ridicule or the gossip they would face wouldn't matter at this point. They were determined to remain faithful to the Lord and to each other. But life was not without its difficulties. We read that in verses 1 and 2. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, or all the Roman Empire should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Now, none of us like tax time. We don't look forward to that. This was a little bit different. This wasn't like our annual time when we give account of our income and then forfeit some of it to our government. I won't go into that. It wasn't like that. This was more of a census. This was more of a taking a roll, a registering. And so Joseph and Mary were, and all the people, and all the Jews in the Roman Empire were to come and they were to register who they were as Jews, they register how much property they owned. This was a census that was taken. The word taxed here means to enroll or to register. We see in verses 3 through 5, it says, All went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so Joseph, who's a carpenter, we know from Scripture, most likely he had his own business. He had to set all that aside for a time, and he had to go to Bethlehem. He had to register because that's where his family was from. He was from the line of David, and so he had to go to Bethlehem. Not only that, he had committed to taking care of Mary, and so because he wanted to take care of her, he also went and took her with him. And so they were headed to Bethlehem. But the fact that he didn't leave her home also shows that she was close to her due date. And Joseph wanted to make sure she was well taken care of. He wanted to be there to make sure she had whatever she needed for this very important time. Now, it wouldn't have been an easy journey. If you've ever looked at a map, you know that the journey from Nazareth down to Bethlehem is about 70 miles. And it parallels a small mountain range. And if you've ever been around mountains, the land beside a mountain range is not just straight and flat. Okay, it goes like this and all around, even though it parallels the mountain range. So it wasn't an easy journey. If you notice also, or we read here, we know of this fact that Mary was very pregnant. Okay, it says in verse 6, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. Okay, they didn't go there right now and just rent a house and wait till Mary's baby came. No, while they were there for the census, it says that a baby came. But this journey would have taken several days, and Joseph most likely walked most of the way, if not all the way. But to make matters even more difficult, when they arrived in Bethlehem, there was no place for them to lodge. And so they were left to fend for themselves and find a place for themselves for the night or for that time that they were there. Now, there are different theories as to why or what type of housing or what type of lodging they found. Some say it was a cave. Some say it was a wooden stable. But whatever it was, we know that Jesus, when he was born, was laid in a manger. He was laid in a trough where they normally threw the feed for the animals. Now, Mary, considering the fact that she was going to have a child, probably thought, oh, it'd be nice to have a soft, beautiful bed for that little boy. Be nice to have a comfortable place for to lay him down in a nice quiet place when he's born. She had to surrender that too. She had to give all that up. She places Jesus in a trough where the animals feed. And she had taken Jesus when he was born. She wrapped him up. She cleaned him and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, it says, and laid him in that manger. I remember when our first child was born. And the midwife came and she was there and she showed us how to take our little girl and how to wrap her up tightly and just so she felt secure. How to wrap her tightly in that blanket and just so she was warm and felt that closeness. I believe that's what Mary was doing. All the motherly care that she could, where she was, she took and she wrapped up Jesus and placed him carefully in that manger. And what a bright light in such a difficult time. What a reason to rejoice in a time when there was not much rejoicing going on. Can you think of hundreds of people coming to a little town, cramming into this little town, and all of them have to be there because Caesar said so? Because they've got to be enrolled. They've got to register themselves. Can you imagine there was a lot of partying going on? There's probably a lot of complaining, a lot of confusion. But what a time to rejoice. What a reason to rejoice. I want to look at one more passage this morning. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Mary had to surrender. Joseph had to surrender. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You know, we celebrate Jesus' birth, but notice the sacrifices that he made just to come to earth. It says he made himself of no reputation. Jesus didn't come showing off his deity. He says, "Here I am, I'm God." No. In fact, it says in Isaiah 53:3, he says he's despised and rejected of men. And when Jesus grew up and became a man and he began his earthly ministry, did everybody accept him? No. In fact, a lot of people didn't even believe he was God and was the Son of God. And they rejected him. They sought to stone him. He didn't come flaunting his royal privilege and say, "Here I am. I deserve this. I deserve that." He laid aside his rank and dignity, became in respect to that as nothing. Where it says, he made himself of no reputation. But also look at it says there in that verse, he took upon him the form of a servant. Mark 10:45 says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't come in order for people to serve him. He came to serve others. He came to serve us. He didn't come as only as God's servant. He was God's servant. But he came to be a servant to men. He demonstrated that at the Last Supper when he took and he girded himself with a towel and he went around and washed the disciples' feet. He said, I'm your servant. Now follow my example. Jesus came and took upon him the form of a servant. But then we see, thirdly, he was made in the likeness of men. Romans 8, verse 3 gives us a better picture, or rather another picture of what Jesus really did. Romans chapter 8, verse 3. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. And so what happened here? Jesus was perfect. He had no sin. But in his perfection, he took upon the likeness of sinful flesh. He took upon man, the form of man, in order to die and to pay our penalty for our sin. Jesus gave up, he surrendered what rightfully belonged to him so that he could provide the way for us to be justly reconciled to the Father. Jesus surrendered himself. The common thread that we see through each of these passages in Luke and in Matthew and here in Philippians is a surrender to the hand of our all-knowing, all-powerful God. Will you give God the gift of surrender this Christmas? Maybe you're here this morning, you need to surrender your own attempts to get to heaven. I can get there by my money. I can get there by my good works. I can get there by being a good person. The Bible says, no, you can't. Maybe you'll surrender that this morning and say, I will come accepting the sacrifice that Christ made on the cross for my sin as the only way to heaven. You'll surrender this morning to that. Maybe as a believer, the Holy Spirit is prompting you to surrender to God's work in your life. Maybe there's something he's saying, I want you to do this. Maybe he's saying, I want you to talk to this person. Maybe there's something else. Maybe you need to surrender. And we may not always understand. You know, God doesn't give us the whole picture at once, because I think if we did, he'd scare us to death. But he just says, I need you to obey. I need you to surrender. I need you to surrender to my all-knowing, all-powerful hand. What are you going to give this morning as your gift of surrender? It doesn't mean a life of ease, a life of prosperity, but the results, if we'll surrender, will always be true joy and peace with God. Will always be true joy and true peace. Surrender is a choice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the examples that we have here of how people had to surrender their own plans, had to surrender themselves to your hand, knowing that you are all-knowing, you are all-powerful, and that you knew what was best. Father, if there's someone here this morning that does not know you as their Savior, Father, please help them to come to the place of surrender. Will they surrender all their own efforts, and they will give themselves to you, to the salvation that you offer to them. Father, I pray that there's someone here, a believer, that needs to surrender an area of their life, that they would do so this morning. Father, knowing that you know every detail of our lives, you know our future, and you know what is best, and we thank you for what you will do in each one of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.